The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. Have you ever been thirsty? There are many instances of thirst described in the Bible. In this sermon, beginning with Samson, Elder John Morgan Owens takes us to several examples in Scripture of physical thirst, and then he relates it to the spiritual thirst that we have as children of God for the true Word of God. Join us today as we begin looking at this topic of thirst.
To thy master's
Judges chapter 15, and we'll look here at verse 11. We're going to join Samson here, the great strong man Samson. It says, Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? So, you know, Samson had his war with the Philistines going on, his one-man war. And so his own people came there 3,000 of them came there to capture him. And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords. So these are not old, raggedy cords. These are brand new cords. And brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. All right, so you men out there, you know, I don't know if you've ever done a feat of strength like this, where you're bound up and then all of a sudden you just rip out of it and you look for something to defend yourself and you say, hey, I'm going to use this jawbone, right? I'm going to take this jawbone and then you defeat 1,000 people with it. That's pretty incredible stuff. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. You see how Samson, look, bless his heart, right? You know, Samson was so gifted of the Lord, but Samson was clueless, okay? He really was. He was an absolute waste, all right, of talent, okay? Because it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. We know that that was where his strength came from, okay? It wasn't in his hair, okay? It was the Spirit of the Lord that gave him strength, right? And so then the Spirit of the Lord delivers him. And then what does he do? He sings this song of praise to himself. He says, have I slain 1,000 men? And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst. Notice this language here. He wasn't just thirsty, okay? You know, when playing football and you know, you come in from practice and you're thirsty, right? He was sore athirst, okay? Now, sometimes that Hebrew word for thirst there means suffering, to suffer thirst, okay? And so it's not just, you know, like we experience, like right now I'm thirsty, right? It's not like that. It's like you are in the midst of suffering a desire, a strong biological desire, right? It says, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. See, now he's going to put it on the Lord, right? He says, you delivered me, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? You see how gracious your God is, that he is merciful and long-suffering with us, right? When he delivers us, look, he just calls this man to break out of his bindings and kill 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey, okay? And now all of a sudden he's a little thirsty. He's very thirsty. I'll give him that. He is sore athirst. And then he says, God, are you gonna deliver me and then just kill me? You see his petulance here? And, you know, look, the Lord has never delivered me in this way, okay? If he had, you better believe I would have had that jawbone hanging on my mantle, right? I wouldn't have just tossed it aside. I'd want everybody to see it, right? But the Lord has delivered each of us in ways, okay? And then we get right back into another situation immediately following it, and we say, Lord, why have you brought me here to just abandon me again? I'm thirsty. He is sore athirst. And what does God do? Does God turn him away and say, I am done with this. You are so ungrateful for the things that I do for you. No, what God answers. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. See, God is able, he is able to deliver. You know, he's able to deliver. He used this jawbone of this donkey to deliver him from 1,000 men, and he's also using it to deliver him from his thirst. And so water starts coming out of this. Y'all know me well enough to know that I'm slightly germophobic, right? I would have to be pretty desperate. I'd have to be pretty desperate to suddenly drink out of this donkey bone that I just killed people with, right? I mean, that's pretty bad. But he was sore thirst. And so he begins to drink out of that. His spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. I want to talk to you this morning about thirst. Okay, it was kind of a long setup for that, but I want to ask you the question, how thirsty are you? How dehydrated are you? You know, dehydration is one of those things that the more away from water you get, the more incapable of getting back to water that you become, okay? Well, you know, some of the symptoms of dehydration, lack of water, is you begin to get dizzy and lightheaded. Your heart begins to have palpitations and race. You get into a situation, you get into a physical state where you are too weak to find water sources, okay? It can be a dangerous cycle. We're blessed and abundance, okay? You know, we can right now, you know, we can go to any number of taps in this building and get water, and you can drink it, right? You know, some people like to filter it first, but look, it's safe to drink right out the tap, right? But yet, how spiritually dehydrated are you? You know, you can be just going along, and then all of a sudden you begin to see those symptoms set in of spiritual dehydration. And all of a sudden, as you have drifted away from God and you haven't been drinking in the things of God that you should be, then all of a sudden you begin to be faint and lightheaded spiritually, and then you get to a point where you don't even want to drink water anymore. You don't even want to come to Him. Am I the only person in this room that has ever gotten so low and so distant from God because of my lack of study that I get to a point where I don't even want to pray to Him anymore? I don't want to face Him. I don't have the spiritual energy to call out to heaven. That is the symptoms of spiritual dehydration. Okay. All right, let's go to the book of Exodus. Exodus 17, and let's look here at verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, look, God has just delivered them time and time and time again. Think about all the miracles in Egypt. Think about how when they got out of Egypt, finally, and the Lord had basically, well, he didn't basically, he completely brought the most powerful nation on earth to its knees. Not only did Israel get to go free, they sent them. Egypt said, go, please, don't come back. We'll send you with treasures and just get out of here. And then they get there to the Red Sea. Oh no, here we are again. The Lord just brought us here to kill us in the wilderness. And you know, yet They've seen with their own eyes the deliverance of God. And we get mad at them when we read it. until we're honest with ourselves and we see, that's me. You know, that's my problem, is that God has delivered me, and the next time there is a whiff of trouble, here I am again, asking the Lord, begging Him to deliver me again. Just like a child that continues to go back to the thing that's getting him in trouble, right? And so, what does God do? Does He say, nope, you're just going to die of thirst. I'm done dealing with you. No, He says, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Look, if anybody could ever be assured that the Lord was among them, it would have been those people, right? I mean, the Lord just came down in a pillar of fire and of cloud and protected them, and they just walked through the Red Sea with a column of water on either side of them. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you need any more confirmation that the Lord's among you, I mean, I don't think I can give it, certainly. You know, I mean, that's it. The Lord's with you. But yet they even questioned. I want to ask you, you know, if we have every reason to believe at this church that the Lord is among us, don't we? Right. I mean, the sort of blessings that the Lord has poured out on this church and upon us, He is certainly able to do. He's able to do whatever He wants to. All right, He is able to bless abundantly, exceeding abundantly above what we could ever even think of. But you realize what a special thing it is that He took a church of one member, right? And it was like a barren, dry land that flooded and it began to grow, right? And I want us, because look, we are in a point, and we will always be in a point in our lives where we go through hardship as a church, as individual families. I want us to remember this, okay?
Amen.
We may be facing the Red Sea. We may be sitting there thirsty. And we're wondering whether the Lord is among us or not. I want, just look back, okay?
Amen.
Look back at the deliverances of God. And then think of yourself. No, he's here. He's here amongst us, that's for sure. All right, so they cried out to the Lord for their thirst. And the Lord answered. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Now, we're going to jump to several verses here, but most of them we won't spend very much time at. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 8. Now, this is an interesting passage, but we're talking about thirst. I thought that it would be helpful to us to see this imagery that God gives us. Now, what's happening here in this passage, it's talking about Ariel, or which is a symbolic name for Israel, okay? It's talking about Israel, okay? We know now that the prophecies to Israel have been fulfilled in Christ. And so when you read the Old Testament and you're seeing Israel and His people, remember, that's you, okay? That is His spiritual nation, Israel, that knows no bounds of nationality or skin color or any of that, okay? And so what it's talking about here is it's talking about the enemies of God and how they are going to be so unsatisfied that their work against us is going to be so meritless, okay? And he says in verse 8, it shall even be, their attempts against us shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Oh, man, it'd been better that he not even had that dream at all, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, and he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. That's what it's going to be like for the people out there that are not his children, okay? As they are so discontent with and they have such a anger toward the church. And you hear that vitriol in the media, right?
Yes.
When somebody stands up and gives a speech and just says some basic, plain, decent things, right? And then all of a sudden, hatred comes out of the woodwork for that person, right? You know, but at the end of the day, the Lord says it's going to be like somebody who's thirsty when they're sleeping, and they're dreaming about it, and they're. I don't know if you've ever been thirsty when you're dreaming, and you're just drinking, just all the water you could take, and then you wake up and you're still thirsty. It's pretty disappointing, right? They said that's what it's going to be like for those people out there. They think they've got it. They've got us right where they want us, and then they're going to wake up and realize, man, that was disappointing, right? I gotta tell this about your pastor, okay? Your pastor and my father-in-law. I heard him. He got nervous. You probably know what I'm going to say. We were in New York City, okay? There's restaurants everywhere around us. We got up early one morning to go to the live with Regis and Kelly, but it was Ryan and Kelly at the time. And so we're in the studio audience, right? It's amazing. You know, they're taping it live, and so we got to be careful what we're doing here, you know, because they pan the camera around the crowd. And your pastor, Brother Chris, fell asleep. Okay, I know you could not believe that, but he fell asleep. And he said he had a dream, okay? He was hungry. I know you never could imagine that part. He was hungry. And he was having a dream that he was eating this sandwich, okay? He was eating a sandwich in his dream. And he woke up, and man, he was disappointed. He woke up, he was so disappointed because that sandwich that was probably so good in your dream, brother, it wasn't really there, right? We were all concerned that maybe he had sleptwalk a little bit and was actually eating the sandwich, but I don't think that happened. But we've all, you know, you've all been there, and you've been hungry when you went to sleep, and man, you're eating the biggest steak of your life, right? And you wake up, and man, that's so disappointing. Well, you know, hunger and thirst can be so powerful, right, that it can control your thoughts.
Right.
We do so well to take care of our physical bodies when we have those hungers and thirsts. Why is it that we hunger and thirst for God, and yet we take some cheap supplement that the world gives? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. I love this verse, the 25th verse of the 25th chapter. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. You've all experienced that before, right? You've all experienced a hard day's work outside. Maybe it's a football practice. Maybe it's work around the house, work on the farm. And you are just thirsty, right? And you turn on the tap outside. And if you're really disciplined, you know, if you're really tough, you wait until the hot water gets out first, you know, and then you get that cold water, right, that comes from deep in that well. And man, it is good, right? He said, so is good news from a far country.
Right.
You realize that when you read the Word of God, when you listen to preaching, you are receiving good news from a far country.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
You're receiving news from your heavenly home, right? Look, we're just traveling. Okay, Brother Mason, he's in France right now, right? He's traveling. That's like us right now. We're here. We're just traveling. But the gospel is that phone call from home, right?
Right. Amen.
You know, tells us about how it's raining here at home and looks great. You know, the crops are growing. Everything looks good here. Can't wait for you to be home. That's what good news from a far country. That's what the gospel is for us.
Amen.
John chapter 4. I told you we were going to jump some, but I didn't know that sandwich eating dream of Brother Chris's was ever going to, you know, I knew that it needed to stay in my repertoire somewhere, but I didn't know it was ever going to make it to a sermon, right? So it's a good day. All right. John chapter 4 and verse 4. Now Jesus here is here in the flesh with us. Okay, he is walking amongst us. And he says he must needs go through Samaria. He's going to walk through Samaria in that place where, as has been preached many times before, is that place of the half-breeds, right? Of the people who were akin to Israel, but had gone off into idolatry, and so they were the outcasts. But Jesus says he's going to go there. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. I think it's so amazing. It's so amazing that, you know, Jesus, he's not just the Son of God, okay? He's not as we would consider a son to a father, okay? He is God. You realize that, right? He is a part of the triune God. And he didn't come into existence when he was born. You realize that, right? That he always was. We read that in the beginning of the book of John. That he was there in the beginning when the world was created. When he put the waters down in the earth, right? And he was there when Jacob dug this well. Looking over Jacob's shoulder, watching him, sweating as he digs this well out. Knowing how many more shovel loads it was going to take to get to the water, he could see the water. He could see the dirt. He could see the elements that composed it. He could see the thoughts of every man. And here he is walking on this earth that he created, and he visits that well, right?
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J. chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.